Acts chapter 25. Now, we just left Paul at the end of Acts 24. He was 2 years left in prison in Israel, and he still hasn't gone to Rome yet. And we wonder why on earth that was. Why did God allow such an active missionary like Paul to be stuck for 2 years in prison? Well, it could have been so that, as Jesus told him when he appeared on the road to Damascus, that this is so that you can take the gospel to the great leaders of the world. Maybe, or maybe it was because Paul personally needed that time of just sitting and thinking and praying and writing and studying the scriptures. Maybe it was all in God's plan, because nothing is chance. And maybe he needed to be tested in this whole question of fairness and justice, because who likes to be just treated like that, you know, just waste 2 years of your life? Well, finally, after some time, Festus arrived in the province, and he went to Jerusalem from Caesarea. And the chief priests and the great men of the Jews presented the charges against Paul. And they asked for him a favor against Paul, that he would summon him to Jerusalem, for they were preparing an ambush to kill him along the way. But Festus answered that Paul must be kept in prison at Caesarea, and that he was going to go there soon. Therefore, he said, "Let those who have authority among you come with me, and if there's anything wrong in this man, let them accuse him." So Festus knew, really, that there was nothing the matter with Paul, but it was all a case of pleasing the Jews. And one thing you learn is that you're never going to get justice in this world. And all God's true children complain about that. You might think, oh, if I take that person to court, I'll get justice. But it doesn't always happen, because the ultimate justice is from God, and not in this life, but when Jesus comes back. And when he had stayed among them not more than 8 or 10 days, he went to Caesarea. And the next day he sat on the judgment seat and commanded Paul to be brought. When he arrived, the Jews that had come from Jerusalem stood round him, bringing against him many and serious charges which they could not prove. While Paul said in his defence, "Neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I sinned at all." You see, he talks about the law of the Jews, because God gave them his law, but they had twisted it and added so much to it and taken out bits that weren't convenient for them, so that effectively they turned it into their law, rather like the temple of God had become the temple of the Jews. Things like that, the feasts of the Lord had become the feasts of the Jews. We've got to be careful we don't do what they did, which is to hijack, as it were, God's religion and turn it into our own.
What does hijack mean?
Well, to grab hold of it for yourself and use it for your own purposes. And so Paul says that he's innocent of all these things. But Festus, wishing to gain favour with the Jews, told Paul, "Well, will you go up to Jerusalem and there be judged of these things before me?" But Paul said, "I'm standing before Caesar's judgment seat," was in Rome, "where I should be judged. To the Jews I have done no wrong, as you also very well know. If then I am a wrongdoer and have committed anything worthy of death, I do not object to dying. But if none of these things are true of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar." Well, Paul says, if I've done anything wrong, then I don't mind dying, but I haven't done anything wrong. Well, yes, I think we know what he means, but as he also said, the wages of sin is death, and he had sinned. And he had also persecuted, tortured, and murdered Christians. So, when he says, if I've done anything wrong, well, sure, I don't mind dying, but I haven't done anything wrong. Well, we do wonder whether Paul still had to learn some sort of humility. I think the problem is that when you are falsely accused, like Paul was, you can then go on to think, I've done nothing wrong. Ever. I'm totally innocent. And I think that we all tend to be a bit like that. If we are innocent of what we've been accused of, we might then go on to think, I'm innocent of everything. I think King David was a bit like that as well. So, Paul has appealed to Caesar, who was in Rome. Then Festus, when he'd conferred with the council, replied, "You have appealed to Caesar you will go." Now, when some days had passed, Agrippa the king and Bernice arrived at Rio and greeted Festus. And as they stayed there many days, Festus put Paul's case before the king, saying, "There's a certain man left as a prisoner by Felix, about whom, when I was at Jerusalem, the chief priests and the elders of the Jews informed me, asking for sentence against him, to whom I replied that it is not the custom of the Romans to give up anyone to death before the accused has the accusers face to face, and he has had opportunity to make his defence about the matter charged against him. So, therefore, when they were gathered here, I immediately the next day sat on the judgment seat and commanded the man to be brought, concerning whom the accusers, when they stood up, brought no charge of such evil things as I imagined. Rather, they had some questions against him of their own religion, and of one Jesus who was dead, whom Paul says was alive. And I, being perplexed how to inquire about these things, asked whether he wanted to go to Jerusalem and there be judged of these matters. But when Paul had appealed to be kept for the decision of the emperor, that's Caesar, I commanded him to be kept until I should send him to Caesar." And Agrippa said to Festus, "I would also like to hear the man myself." "Tomorrow," he said, "you shall hear him." So the next day, when Agrippa had arrived and Bernice with great pomp, they entered into the place of hearing with the chief captains and principal men of the city. And at the command of Festus, Paul was brought in. So there's Paul the prisoner, probably not looking particularly well, or particularly well kept, in front of the great pomp of Bernice and Festus and Agrippa. Festus said to King Agrippa and all the men who were there present, "You see this man, about whom all the crowd of the Jews made appeal to me, both at Jerusalem and here," that's in Caesarea, "crying that he should not live any longer." So what he's saying is, look at the guy. Look what sort of insignificant little man he is, this man. And the Jews are making such a fuss about him. But he goes on, "I found that he'd done nothing worthy of death, and as he appealed to the emperor, I decided to send him, but I've nothing certain to write about him. Therefore, I've brought him before you, and especially before you, O King Agrippa." So that after the examination has happened, I may have something to write. For it seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner without specifying the charges against him. And as we've noticed, whenever Paul is judged, the judges say, look, you know, what is all this about? And they're perplexed. They can't understand why people want to get Paul dead. And I think that shows that there was an incredible jealousy. There was an incredible hatred against Paul that was totally irrational, that was totally without real reason. And Solomon, at the end of the Song of Solomon, he says that jealousy is cruel as the grave. And I think that was really the thing. That because in their hearts they knew that actually what Paul was preaching about Jesus was true, they got so jealous that they wanted to kill him, and they got quite irrational about it. And if you went into the reasons why they wanted to kill him, there was no sensible reason given.